Welcome to Modern Musings, conversations with the maiden, mother, and crone, looking at ourselves and the world through the lens of the 21st century. Hello and welcome back. I'm your hostess, Kristen, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Amber and Cindy.
Hello.
Hello.
If this is your first time joining us, we're glad to have you here, and if you're returning, then welcome back. Today, we are talking about ways to lower stress. There's lots of different times in the year when you can be, you know, stressed out. It could be like the end of the school year,
the holidays,
summer, vacation while kids are home, or holidays, tax
Something's
season
going on at work.
Anything, any given time.
Recession.
Yeah.
Like
big things
goodness.
That. Recession.
Yeah.
War.
Rising gas prices. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots of different reasons why we can be stressed out. Sometimes it's external, sometimes it's internal. Sometimes it's like fictitious things that we come up with on our own because we're stressed and then we make more stress.
Right.
So we thought it would be really cool if we just kind of went over some of the different things that we do ourselves to de-stress.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So there's probably different things that I can get stressed out about. For me, probably the one thing that I find myself like getting the most stressed out about and I don't realize it is like bills and like wondering if I have enough money. And sometimes I just need like a reality check. And that always like puts me in a good like mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So on Sunday, as a routine, I always check like my checking account and I add up all my money that I have like in my checking accounts. And that just gives me
so
like
it's a preventative measure.
Yeah,
to
but
prevent
it gives
the stress.
Me, it reminds me like you have money. Chill out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you,
consequence
you know,
of growing up poor.
If you're talking about like money things, one of the things I used to get really stressed out about bills and stuff too. And one of the things that I found that alleviated that stress was doing those bills with my partner.
Yes.
Sitting down, you know, at every week or whatever, and going through all the bills, all the money that we have, making a budget, and just making those decisions together. Because making those decisions on your own is one of the things that causes you stress.
The burden of
the burden of
the
being
choice.
Responsible for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
for
so, I do recommend that. I mean, there's lots of other kinds of stress too, and in a lot of ways, having someone, you know, heading those things off at the pass is like always the best step mm-hmm. if you can find things to avoid the stress in the first place.
Right, right. Even sometimes, some might say that having that time with your spouse to work on paying the bills, that can be stressful if you are, you know, maybe not on the same page with your finances.
Right,
then
right.
The act of actually paying your bills together can be stressful. So, you know, being on the same page with each other can also head off at the
right,
pass
right.
too. Because then,
but doing them together is closer mm-hmm. to getting you on that same page than if you're doing
so
them separately.
So it might be stressful the first few times that you do it mm-hmm. together, but mm-hmm. it will pass.
Over time, you will get you'll kind of make a plan and it'll work for you. Yeah.
One of my other things that I do too is just pay the bill. Like sometimes I worry about like, oh, am I going to have enough money? If I pay this bill, then what if I don't have any more money? And I'll like hang on to my money until the last minute to pay the bill. And then, so there's like an impending doom of, I
got to
pay this
stress.
Bill. I got to pay this bill. And so I think that's like a weird like cycle that we put ourselves in that we don't realize by putting it off. We're extenuating that circumstance.
Extending.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
It's something that humans tend to want to do, like a kind of like procrastination and
mm-hmm.
Everything like a
it's
like
pain
they
avoidance.
Feel
it's
a
pain
fire
avoidance.
In the
but
last
it's
second,
like
a.
Right. You're like, oh, I don't want to be burned. So I'll just wait until the last second and be scorched.
Right.
But really, really what you're doing is you're just boiling really slowly for a long time.
Boiling a frog. Yeah. And it is.
It's really silly.
It actually builds, like, I'll go the opposite direction.
In the long.
into a snowball. Because that anxiety over it builds into a snowball that just builds and builds and builds.
Yeah. And then you're more stressed in
and
the
you're
end.
More stressed in the end.
You I are. Know. And it's weird because then when you do finally pay that bill, you're like, oh, thank God I made it.
Yeah.
And you get like this big relief. But at the same time, you get the same relief when you just pay and get it done. Because then you get the relief and sense of accomplishment too.
Yeah.
Versus I just put myself through a lot of stress just so that I could feel good about accomplishing something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is nothing more stressful than getting paid once a month.
Oh, yeah. I've lived that. And it is. It's really hard.
As a teacher, we only get paid once a month, and it's like a test in budgeting.
Yeah, you really have to budget very well.
I had to learn to budget when I became a teacher.
When Mark was teaching at the college, that we had the same thing. He got paid once a month and not on the first. It was like on the fifth. So you had to plan out everything right up to
rent
the rent
and everything that's is due on the first. Yeah.
So that was a challenge, you know. It was really hard. And it's very stressful. In fact, my husband was so... We bounced back and forth for years. And I think we've talked about this on different episodes that we bounced back and forth for years. He would avoid paying the bills because it stressed him out so much. And then they were late and we were always paying late fees.
Oh my gosh. Like I must have learned that from him or something.
He would wait. Jeez. He would wait and wait and wait because it just... It was so
because
overwhelming.
He felt like if I just hold on to this money, I have a sense of security.
Yes. And then... Yeah. But then... You know, I would take the bills away from him and I would pay him. So it's this constant tug of war between us, these different theories or outlooks on how the bills should be handled. And it really wasn't until we got on the same page together and started doing them together and, you know, having an actual budget and saying this is what needs to be paid now and this is what's going to wait and this is what day we're going to pay this or whatever. And once we did that, then all of that stress went away. But it's really hard. And like I said, when we were young and he was teaching at the college and we were poor, I mean, you know, it was hard. It's hard.
You know, even though I don't struggle anymore, because of just like the whole fear of like, paying bills throughout the month and then like really trying to worry about myself, I like to pay my bills immediately when I get paid.
Right.
Like immediately the day I get paid, start sending off my bills. I mean, there are some that come out like my cell phone bill. My cell phone bill comes out mid-month. So there are some that like, you know, I have on auto pay and it's cheaper actually to pay on auto pay, but it drives me crazy that it comes out the middle of the month.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I have some of those too, because you'll set it for like the first of the month and then it has bill creep. That's what I call it. Bill creep. It gets later and later, or it gets earlier and earlier and earlier. One or the other. It never stays on the same date every month. It's always moving one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me crazy. Makes me crazy.
So, Amber, what, you know, speaking of being a teacher, what are some of the things that you do to de-stress or combat stress during the school year?
Well, I definitely, I try to go to bed early. I mean, So it's really weird because during COVID and teaching online, I started going to bed later and later because I lived 1 minute away from my computer. So I could
commute, wake up,
brush my hair and go and put like a nice shirt on and sit in my pajama pants and teach in my pajama pants.
I think that happened to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I still do that every
day. right. Well, so I got used to just staying up later and later and later. Like I could, you know, stay up until 1 a.m. and still get 8 hours of sleep mm-hmm. if school starts at 9. So it was hard to get out of that habit because before that I was going to bed at a decent time. And now it's hard.
Yeah.
But I want to say like a one thing that I like to do to de-stress when I leave work is listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if I'm at work, like during my break, listen to music or read a book. Those yeah. are two of my most favorite de-stress things.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to music and read a book. And or write poetry.
Yeah.
So three things that I really like to do.
The thing you can really only do by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solitude.
Yeah.
You know, quiet. Solitude that is one of my greatest. Like,
yeah. Stress reliever. Yeah. Solitude by myself. After work, after all the kids leave, I like to sit at my desk and write something or read a little bit and then mm-hmm. get my stuff together and leave for work. And then I have, oh gosh, I have like a 45-minute commute, so I usually listen to an audiobook on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Or music.
I love that stress reliever.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get to commute that often, but when I do, it's kind of like, yes, I get to listen to my book. And that actually, I feel like the audiobook relieves stress of driving because...
It really does because you're just like...
My emotions are invested in the audiobook, not the drivers.
And well, see, and I can't do that. Driving stresses me out.
Well, you listen to NPR. I listen to talk radio. That's not much different.
Right. I listen to NPR or I listen talking to news to you, radio.
Like, same thing.
but I really only listen to half of it. So I can't listen to an audiobook because in order for me to fully engage in the audiobook, I would have to tune out the driving. And that's just not safe. So I can't do that one. But I don't know.
I feel like I've mastered it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, I'm like in two places at once. Yeah. I'm doing the Wheel of Time series right now.
So, and the Wheel of the Road series.
Yeah. The Wheel of the Road series. So I'm wheeling down the road in the Wheel of Time series. And like, they're fighting battles and I'm fighting traffic.
Yeah.
I do think like Amber, reading is one of my great ones. I usually only do that at the end of the day, though, but it is a great way for me to wind down at the end of the day because you have to de-stress at the end of the day in order to get that good night's sleep, and you have to have both of those things to ward off stress. Yeah, I like to
fall asleep reading or fall asleep listening to music.
Yeah, I do that as well. A lot of times I'll use music to take away the stress of doing work that is tedious or stressful or whatever. So I'll put on something that I really enjoy that I can sing along to or something like that. And that helps me with the,
keeping the pace.
Keeping the pace and keeping up the work. And I don't get burnt out on doing this really tedious whatever it is. Sleep is a good one because if I don't get enough sleep, I get really grouchy.
I feel like I'm always chasing getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes like when something's like really stressing me out and I'm like really worried about an outcome that I can't control, I'll just take a nap because there's no sense in like wasting energy worrying about something.
Sit in my bed and cuddle with my cats, my pets and my dog. Like, that's probably one of my favorite de-stressing things, like petting my animals.
Petting your animal actually releases endorphins. You actually, like, I don't remember what it is. Serotonin? No.
Dopamine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Whenever you pet an animal, your brain releases dopamine.
Oh, well, that's cool. I guess that's why my favorite cat is the fuzziest one, because he's so soft and cuddly. Yeah. And I can just pet him.
Yeah. And there's like
and
a sense.
The size of a small
when
dog.
You pick up your cat, you have like this sense of, right?
Well, and
I feel that way with my dog.
There is some evidence also that not just animals, but touching things that give you comfort, like mm-hmm. a soft fuzzy blankie.
Mm-hmm. Your woobie. Yeah, that's why I love blankets, because yeah, they're comfortable. Soft
and you can rub it. But finding things that you can touch on, fidget worry gadgets, stones. Worry stones, things like that.
My necklace. I touch my necklace hair. A million times a day.
I twirl my hair a lot. So, or I did when I was younger. And yeah, that kind of.
Yeah, like I'm always touching my necklace. I'm always touching the crystal around my neck.
My tell is my earrings. If I have earrings on, I'm usually fidgeting with my earrings when I get nervous or something or anxious.
Yeah.
I'll pull on my earrings.
One of the things that I like to do when I start getting stressed is a technique that I've learned. Some people call it strategic breathing. Some people call it
breath work.
Square box breathing. There are different ways to say it, but it's a way of breathing. It's a little breathing technique. It's been proven to relieve anxiety. They use it in the military when they train SEALs and stuff like that. It's a way to get them focused and centered on the task at hand. So mm-hmm. they'll get in position and they'll do this little breath work or whatever, and then they'll engage. And so what you do is you start with an inhale for the count of four, and you hold it for a count of four, and then you exhale it for a count of four, and you hold for a count of four, and you keep doing that over and over, and it just kind of calms and soothes you and helps you focus. Or you could just take long, slow, you know, in for eight, out for eight, really slow. But the idea is that you're concentrating on your breath. You're using your brain. That's the only thing you're thinking about is your breathing. And that helps you kind of push all that stress out. And then you can think a little more clearly.
And, we do something like similar in theater class.
Mm-hmm. We do things like that in yoga also sometimes. Maybe not necessarily the specific box breathing or whatever, but it, you know, breathe in and hold and then let it out.
And take another sip at the top. Yeah.
So yeah, those are great ways for me to help with. Meditation is a great way, and my meditation comes along with the breathing. It's just kind of a way to get in touch with your inner self and just kind of put other things out of your mind or whatever. And I like doing that. It helps me focus, get in touch with my gut, so to speak. So, I do like to do meditation as another form of stress relief.
I have always kind of envied the type of people that when they get stressed, they go for a run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because
and blow it off. Blow off.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah. Running or stresses or punch, me out.
Exactly. I'm the opposite. I'm like, I want to go eat something whenever I'm stressed out. Yeah. Like, I have the opposite reaction. But definitely there's a type, those that find running, you know, helps clear their mind. I tend to like dwell more on whatever I'm thinking about when I go for a walk.
Yeah, I do too.
That's why, because I'm walking instead of running.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. But like, I'm just thinking about it kind of stresses me out. But at the same time, I'm like, I wish like that was my go-to. I wish like
exercise. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I, you know, it would be a little bit more effective, because I probably find myself more stressed out than not stressed out, you know, about this or that.
Right.
And there's quite a few people that go and, you know, they're just like, oh, I'm having a hard day, so I just went for a walk on my break. And I'm like, dang, that's like the last thing I would have thought about doing.
Well, you know, that's interesting, you know? Because I've started doing that on my break at work. Because I work in downtown, and I've started just like walking someplace new during my break that I haven't done before. Like, one thing that you asked me what I do to relieve stress at work, and that is one thing that I do do like on my break is I get out of the building for a minute and I walk to the park, or I walk and get a coffee or mm-hmm. something like mm-hmm. that. And I walk around the block a little bit because I've been trying to walk more, and it's easier to walk during the day than it is like when I get nighttime, home.
Yeah.
Right, when I get home, I just want to sit.
Well, and getting away from the source of stress is also a good way to break up that stress. You mm-hmm. know, like if you're at work and you're stressed, go take a break and go do something else. If you're in the middle of a stressful project and it's just going nowhere, stop and go do something else.
Yeah, it's a good brain break. It's yes, a good, yes. like a, you get over, like as a teacher, you get overstimulated from talking to people a million times a day, and just like getting out of the building for 15 minutes or so mm-hmm. is just a good, like a, and walking alone, even though there's a million people around, just kind of walking, and I'll put my headphones on and turn my audiobook on mm-hmm. and I'll walk around a little bit and then I'll go back.
Mm-hmm. I used to like to sit outside,
mm-hmm.
You know, get a little bit of vitamin D from the sunshine, sit outside with my book maybe or whatever and just sit outside. It's a little hot here in the Dallas area.
It's so hard to sit outside in Texas.
It is. Even it's really
any
hard.
Time of year.
And so I don't do that as much anymore, but that was one I loved. I also like relaxing baths, like a really steamy bath with some bubbles or some oils or something in it, and just relaxing. I don't get to do that one anymore either because I don't have a bathtub that's conducive to it. So my master bath doesn't even have a bathtub at all. So so that's a little bit harder, but I do love that one. And I'm always envious of people that I see in the movies and they've got like their candle and their book and their music and they're sitting in the bubble bath and they're just all relaxed and reading a book. And
that's future house goals, having a yes. really huge tub
yeah.
to be able to put candles.
One of those jacuzzi tubs.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Me and a too, book that doesn't get wet.
I don't think
wet.
It'll ever happen. But yeah.
My mother-in-law has a tub like that and I'm very jealous.
I don't know how you don't get the book wet though. I haven't figured that out. So
yeah, that's the thing is like, when you see people in the movies and they've got the book and everything, and it's just like, how did you not get any of that stuff wet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about you, Kristen? You've asked us what we do for stress relief. What are some of the things you like to do that we haven't mentioned?
I like to get lost in a TV show.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm an escape person, like mm-hmm. instead of walking though, like walking away from a situation, I'll go to sleep or I'll, you know, I'll maybe find something else to do, but I tend to like to get lost in a book or lost in a movie or a TV show, and because I can get so like engaged in the show or the book that
you don't think
I have
of anything
blinders
else.
Right. I don't think about anything else.
It's interesting that you say that you like to escape, because that's one of my coping mechanisms too. I don't know if I'm really coping or not.
No, I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing like actually de-stressing or if I'm just avoiding.
Yeah,
but I'm not stressed out when I'm doing it.
Right.
So,
so that's why I, you know, one of my things is you know, I like to escape too. And so I like to go on retreats.
Mm-hmm.
Or go, you know, like on a little mini vacation, even if it's just for a day or whatever, go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
That is the adventurous Sagittarius in you.
It is. Absolutely.
I think like with the adventure stuff, though, you have to be more preemptive with that, because it's not as less stressful if you're already stressed out and trying to go
well, that's
somewhere
true, because you build up a lot of stress
orchestrating
trying to
a camping trip or
right,
something
right.
can be stressful.
Like we recently went to a scrapbooking thing and you know, just trying to get packed the day before so that you can get
there on
time, and that is stressful. But then it's like once I get there, it's just like, whew, all the rest of it's gone, you know, until I get home. So, packing and then I get back home. Stressful.
Packing is stressful. You wait till the absolute last second to pack.
Well, and that's why I say a lot of, I think a lot of stress could be preempted by certain, you know, like we were talking about, like stress about your bills by finding someone to do it with you, with stress of packing.
No,
do it way ahead of time.
Procrastination.
Have a list.
Pay the bill early, right, and having that sense of accomplishment.
Right. And, you know, like if you're packing, pack, have a list and start packing it, you know, a week ahead of time or whatever, laying the things out and get it all ready to go and things like that. Finding ways to keep the stress from getting there in the first place. And I mean, sometimes you can't avoid it. I mean, there, you know, sometimes there's things like illness in the family or caring for your children or your spouse or your parents. You can't avoid those, but finding little things within that that bring joy helps alleviate that stress too.
Gratitude. Definitely.
Living a life of gratitude.
Because then you can pick out the blessings and focus on those also helps de-stress.
Yes.
Because a lot of times the stress just gets, you know, exacerbated by stressing more and worrying.
Right.
Worry really is the ultimate stress.
Yeah.
The useless stress. It's worrying. Useless
because
yeah.
you're not, you know, if, and here's another thing, journaling, you know, if you're stressed out about something, write it out. Write out what you're stressed about. Talk about why it stresses you. What could happen if. Write all those things out. And a lot of times, once you do that, you see that it's not worth stressing over. So,
Or the thing you're worried about is like the worst case unlikely scenario.
Right, yeah. And like I said, gratitude. I do I do a couple of things. I do the Miracle Mornings thing that you've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
I do a scripting exercise every day where I list out three gratitudes, three things that would make the day perfect. So that's a little bit of planning, manifesting maybe, and then an affirmation. And my affirmation is almost always, today will be a great day. So I start out with those gratitudes because it's, if you start out with gratitude, then you're already starting out in a good place, right?
Yeah.
And then you add on those, what would make today great, three things that would make today great. And I think of three things that I want to accomplish, and they don't have to be big things. One of them could be like, I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to...
It's something beyond just getting dressed and eating sleeping. Yeah. Yeah.
It could be anything. Or it could be that big project you're going to tackle and you're going to get it done. And then, like I said, I follow it up with that affirmation. And my affirmation is almost always, today will be a great day. So it goes back to my today, what will make today great? These three things. But guess what? I just said today's going to be a great day.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, it's going to be a great day. And that just starts me off in that positive mindset. And then I'm not looking at this pile of tasks or whatever and getting stressed over it as much. I still get stressed, obviously. We're human. We all do. But it just helps a little bit. And then the other thing I do at the end of the day that helps me is I started keeping a journal of all the things I did that day, because I've had a history of beating myself up for not getting done all the things that I thought I should have gotten done.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can attest to the fact that my to-do list is a mile long every day. It's way too long. And I've been trying to learn to cut it back. But I've always had this idea that I should be able to do all these things. And when I get to the end of the day and I haven't done all of them, I felt bad that I had not done everything on my list. And I beat myself up over it. And so I decided to, instead of saying, well, I didn't get this done because this happened, and I, you know, like making excuses or mm-hmm. placing blame, I decided to make a list of the things I did get done.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed everything. So my neighbor came over the other day. I was in the middle of a bunch of stuff. But my neighbor came over and had a long talk. It kept me away from the other project I was doing. And then my son-in-law came over and to help me with the project and stayed and talked for a long time. So instead of saying to myself, well, I could have gotten this done.
Had X, Y, and Z not
if the neighbor hadn't come over and if Travis had gone home when he was done. Instead, I put those things on my list of things that I got done. I had a great visit with my son-in-law. That was on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I had a long conversation with my next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good thing on my list. I did those things.
Yeah.
I still accomplished something.
Yeah.
It just mm-hmm. wasn't the thing that I set out to accomplish.
Yeah.
And I started noticing when I started listing all those things, my list was almost a whole page long
of yeah.
things that I got done because I loaded and started the dishwasher. I folded a load of laundry. I took out the trash. I rolled the dumpster down to the curb.
That's a great accomplishment. Yeah. You know, I mean, especially if, you know, you're depressed or anything like that. Like
right.
That getting the dishes done to me is always an accomplishment.
And I even because put on there
those are never ending.
That I cooked and ate my lunch. I cooked and ate my dinner. I mean, like literally listed all the things I did. And when I did that, I realized I did a full day's worth of stuff mm-hmm. and I was very accomplished. I got a lot of things done.
We've been talking about that at work because we just ended a couple months ago our annual reviews. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because our annual reviews are in like February to March.
Right.
And so the year's already over and we've already started a new year. We've got new goals and we're already like almost into the first quarter's almost over. And now we're like trying to look back at everything that's happened in the past like 12 months. So when you're looking at like your annual review questions, asking like what you've accomplished for the year, to go back and go like, oh, wow, what did I do this year? I don't think I really accomplished anything. It's, you know, one of the feedback that I gave because I use it one year because I remembered like, oh, man, I know I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff this year. I'm going to write it down. And the next year when my annual review came up, I had like everything ready to go. I wasn't like surprised, like you have to sum up the year that's already passed and everything that you accomplished. And I couldn't, you know, normally couldn't remember all of those things, but I had this list and I was like, wow, I really did. I actually like wrote down like all the little mm-hmm. side projects that I worked on and special little things that my team had accomplished. And so I reminded everybody on my team, you know, for next year, like, you know, start now, like start writing down those things that you accomplished, because when it comes down to the end of the year, you want to be able to reflect and look back and say like, I accomplished this
right.
versus like, dang, did I do anything this year?
Yeah.
You know, because we all did, we all contributed to so much. And it is, I feel like that's really important to like reflect.
Yeah. It's a lot like the blessings jar that I had when I was going through breast cancer. I made this little jar and it was a suggestion from a friend who was doing something similar. And every time you have something good happened, it could be so small. Like I had a burrito from Taco Bueno today at lunch and it was delicious. Or I found my pen that I lost that rolled under the desk the other day. Or I found a penny in the parking lot, you know, whatever. You write mm-hmm. them down on these little slips of paper and you put them in the jar. And then at the end of the year, you come back and you look at those things. And what it is that act of writing down all of those good things
mm-hmm.
puts you in a different mindset. And you start thinking of the good things instead of the bad things. And we used that when my husband was going through cancer. He did a little jar. I've done the jar for years. I still have it over here. I haven't put anything in it in a while. I probably should go back to it. But I still think of those good things. I just don't put them in the jar anymore. But it really is a game changer when you start doing that, because it puts your brain in a different frame of mind. because you're looking for good things to happen, mm-hmm. not the stressful things.
Yeah. So easily agreeable that mindset is the best way to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
All right. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing if anybody else has other things that we didn't think of as.
There's so many.
We barely touched on them, but those are just ones that are go-tos. Yeah. So definitely not like psychologists over here.
Well, no. We're muddling our way through these things just like everybody else is.
Amber has some awesome news.
Yeah. Yes, I am getting my master's in counseling. Yay! So pretty soon.
So what did you do? Because I know we talked about like education, extending your furthering your education.
We talked about that at the start of the year. Yeah.
Well, after many agonizing years, I guess, of wanting to get my master's, I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to get it in because, you know, whether I still wanted to. So I decided, I've always liked psychology. So I'm getting my master's in counseling.
Right on.
School counseling and licensed professional counseling. And then, never know.
I think that's awesome.
Go on and get my doctorate.
You're never to learn. Never too learn to keep holding. Yeah. I love that. You're never too old to keep learning. And you're never too old to go back to school. I always agree that. I think it's awesome.
I think you value the education more as an adult.
Oh, I believe so as well.
As an adult than a junior adult.
Yes. Because you've lived life and you can appreciate what that education can do for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Amber, you're going to have to keep us posted and congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Well, what do we have for next week?
So next week, we're doing another one of those little fluff episodes. And we're going to talk about our favorite game shows. And maybe a little talking about what actually makes a game show.
Yeah.
Because we've, in our prep for this episode, we've kind of discovered a few things.
Was just us listing off our favorite episodes. We don't like research.
Well, we did kind of research.
We went down a rabbit hole. It brought up
some questions. So I'm looking forward to talking about what makes a game show, what our favorite game shows are, and we'll talk about some of the favorites. So we'll be back next week.
All right. Well, look forward to chatting with you guys next week. So don't forget to hit us up on our Facebook, MMC Chat. And, you know, don't forget to check out our blog, too, on modernmusings.net.
And we also have, like, the Heard It on the podcast. So if you've listened to some podcasts and we've talked about something you've never heard of or whatever, we'll put some links there.
Yeah, sometimes we have some links on some of the specific things that we mention. All right. So we'll catch you next time.
Bye.